The following is from Ghost Coast Studios, the world's first and only podcast network.
Now, wait a minute.
Two big men, two big legacies, and one age-old question. How far can you coast on goodwill before it blows up in your face? John McCain, Senator Maverick, took big donations and luxury perks to protect a guy who tanked the savings and loan industry. And Francis Ford Coppola, he sold off a vineyard to fund a brutally weird, self-indulgent, Roman-themed Blade Runner fever dream that absolutely nobody asked for. Both of these men had everything in the world handed to them, and both of them left us wondering, is this really what you chose to do with it? It is madness, it's mess, it's myths, and it's the most important election of our lifetime.
This election, which will be, I do truly believe, the most important election of our lifetime.
This is the most important election of our lifetime.
This is the most important election, don't you? You hear that?
This is the most important election in our lifetime.
I certainly think it's the most important election of my lifetime.
This is the most important election of our times.
Politicians say every time, oh, this is the most important election. This one's really that important.
It's like a nostalgic look back at the days when presidents did not, like, legally persecute their adversaries, which is definitely the way that we're going. We look at this McCain and Letterman thing, and we think, what a cute and adorable feud. McCain, you know, this guy got such unprecedented just love from the media, off the rails all the time. But you know, the slightest hint of non-praise, and this guy went ballistic, and it was just consistent throughout his life.
I have no idea what you're referencing, although I will say that, you know, I don't necessarily consider myself like a media figure, really. But like, John McCain never got any praise for me. You know, I prefer my war heroes not to have been captured.
So John McCain last minute canceled on David Letterman at the height of Letterman's career.
Okay.
Which is just like, that's brutal to do to somebody, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you got a whole show to do. You got a whole show to do.
I mean,
how am I going to fill these 12 minutes?
We're just dorky podcasters, and it ruins our whole day if somebody cancels on us at the last minute sometimes.
Mm-hmm. David Letterman, am I going to have to get someone to balance a ball on their head? Uh-oh. How am I going to have a David Letterman show?
Am I going to have to emergency find a dog that can do math?
This dude used to do some shit where he would just go in the crowd and be like, can you balance something on your face? Do it. And then everyone would applaud, and that would be the show. They call this Stupid Human Tricks. It's a real segment. Now, if you're old, you're like, of course, I know all about Stupid Human Tricks. But if you're under the age of like 45, you're like, he really just... That was what was considered entertaining. You would work all day, and then a housewife from Topeka would balance a bowling pin on her face.
And so here's the thing, is that here's the part that really, so, you know, John McCain told David Letterman, oh, I gotta go back to Washington, made up an excuse. He lied to him.
Ooh.
Ooh.
But it turned out he was going to be on Katie Couric's show instead. He got an opportunity to be on Katie Couric's show instead. And so he fucking lied to David Letterman, made up an excuse. And of course, David Letterman figured out right away that this is a lie because they were on the same network.
John McCain is two-timing his commitments.
He was two-timing his commitments. And so if David Letterman
in for a more upwardly mobile relationship.
Now, to David Letterman's credit, also, you know, a lot of our modern political comedians, they'd be too scared to do something like this now in our modern climate, potentially. But David Letterman back in the day, he was like, no, forget the cat that does algebra or whatever. I'm going to take that extra time I have and I'm going to roast John McCain.
Hell yeah.
And furthermore, I'm going to make this a recurring segment of my show. I'm not really going to. He didn't like say that, but it just became a thing for the next few weeks where he just kept roasting the shit out of John McCain. And John McCain, you know, he didn't crack under 5.5 years of torture in North Vietnam as a prisoner of war. But 3 weeks of roasting by David Letterman, and he was on David Letterman's show making apologies.
You know, this guy, you just know for a fact that every boomer was talking to him directly. Did you see Letterman cook you last night? He's surrounded by the exact audience that watches that show, and he definitely found it out firsthand right away.
Jesus. Well, thank you for enlightening me. I had no idea. I had no idea that there was such a Letterman beef. I've been mostly following the recent Jay Leno saga. I've become convinced that Jay Leno made a deal with the devil like years and years ago, and then now just can't die.
This guy's a devil. What an asshole to make a deal with Jay Leno to make him a popular late night comedian and not make him funny.
Here's the thing, man. Like,
that was the monkey's paw curling. Yeah, Jay Leno's like, I'll sell my soul to be a popular late night comedian, monkey's paw curls, but you won't be funny.
As a stand up comedian who isn't all that funny, I will say I would take it.
You know, that's fair. But also, yeah, you're funnier than Jay Leno, and I don't say that lightly.
Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. I've never been on this. I've never said into a microphone, have you seen this? Have you heard about this? Although
you absolutely have said, you have done that bit.
Well, maybe onto a podcast, but not on stage. Although I will say that at an open mic earlier this week, I did say into a microphone, make some noise if you have loved and you have lost. The room went crazy. The room went crazy.
I have loved and lost.
Yeah, that's legit. You could. I'm sure the room would go crazy for that.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of shows where we will roast the shit out of you, where if you last minute cancel on us, this is one.
Yeah.
But that's a poor segue into the title of this show.
No, that's the perfect segue. Be warned. This is the most important election of our lives. Be thoroughly warned. This is the most important election of our lives, and you have to show up.
You
this
must show up.
If you don't,
this is the most important election of our lives.
This is the most important election of our lives. Damn it!
Yeah, have you voted today? If not, listen on. All right.
Vote early, vote often.
I mean, honestly, not a day goes by that I don't vote at least once.
That's so great. That's what we're all about on this show. So I'm Kennedy Cooper. With me on the panel, we've got Brandon Buchanan, my good friend. We've got our in-house statistician, Andrew Fields. Say hello.
Hi, friends.
And to make things confusing for our very first episode, we have a guest named Andrew, too. comedian Andrew Hillary, host of The Worst Week Yet, a show which might sound familiar if you know me. And also the host of The Crumbling, or one of the hosts of The Crumbling. And all around good guy.
I would say I'm barely a host of The Crumbling. I'm more of like a sidekick. Sophia Florence is the host, and she knows her shit. So every week she shows up with a fucking document, and I show up and I'm like, wait, what? I make the home improvement noises. I'm Tim the Truman Taylor.
You're the wacky sidekick. Got it.
Listen, everybody loves the follow-up, so.
Big time wacko. It's a fun show, though.
This show is called, are all of your shows titled like ironic horror movies that are quirky? You've got Worst Week Yet. You've got The Suffering.
No, it's The Crumbling.
But The Suffering would be a good podcast name.
The Suffering is actually the title of my journal.
Yeah.
Mood.
Volume 3 coming out this Christmas. Get a gift for your dog.
The Suffering is the movie they're gonna make one day about John McCain being a prisoner of war. You know they'll make that. Like right now, people are gonna hear that joke. They're gonna go, Kennedy, that's still it. Still feels a little soon, maybe.
10 years from now,
but 40 years from now, they're making that fucking movie. It'll be the Saving Private Ryan of the 2060s. All right.
Buddy, you could make that movie in the next 4 years. You send the storyboards to Trump and he'll send you a signed thumbs up.
That's true. In the next 4 years, you could get it done.
Oh, yeah.
Otherwise, you got to wait.
Move fast.
30 more years.
If you want to exploit this great man's memory, move fast.
Yeah, if you want to make any kind of Republican bait movie, now's the time.
Now more than ever.
if you couldn't guess today, one of our topics is going to be John McCain.
Ever heard of him?
Ever heard of a little fella named Jonathan McCain?
I prefer to call him Megan's dad. But that's just like a me thing, you know.
Sure.
You could also call him Sydney, his middle name.
Okay.
You know what? Let's talk about Sydney.
Here's the thing is that my middle name is Hillary. So like John McCain being a middle name Sydney, like, you know, there's a connection between me and Megan's dad that I did not realize.
We've got a Sydney. We've got a Hillary. We've got an Ashley. Andrew, what's your middle name?
Thomas.
Never mind. You're out of the club.
Okay. Bye.
Very, very loud and correct buzzer noises for the rest of the episode. Just Thomas Jefferson. John McCain. Also, he was John Sidney McCain III.
Oh, sure. Wow.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
This is a person whose entire life is about, I mean, from a very young age, the legacy of John McCain.
Brandon, we lost you.
Well, if I am. Am I back?
Yes. You're back.
I'm back.
We are so back.
We're so fucking back.
John McCain is someone who, from a young age, his legacy, the legacy of John McCain, outpaced the person of John McCain immediately. As soon as he came back to the United States from Nam, he was no longer, and you can go through his backstory, whatever, who cares. When he got back to America, he was deified. And a lot of his political career has been a reaction to that deification, for good or bad. That's what it's been about for him.
Yeah.
And
of course,
it was a bumpy road. You had multiple scandals. I mean, they wanted to make him president almost right away. It's only because he screwed it up for himself that he had to take a little while to climb back up the ladder.
I mean, say what you will about John McCain. That one time that lady said that Barack Obama was a Muslim, he did say, no, 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 he's a good person.
That will be an irreplaceable moment in history.
Yeah, you know, never forget.
Say, never again.
You really could convince yourself in your mind that John McCain fought in the Middle East and not in Vietnam with the way that he talked about Muslim people. He was out of control. John McCain, I mean, he did survive literally 5.5 years as a prisoner of war, which is insane.
What do you think he was doing on like year four?
I mean, I think he was pretty miserable the whole time.
Yeah.
No, 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 no. See?
Shit his ass. That's what he was doing.
He found a magical portal and he was transported to another world for about a year or so for that year.
Vietnarnia? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
The Vietnam War? The Vietnam War.
Damn, that's not a good phrase.
I'm going to keep that one next time I want to bother you, Kennedy.
Yeah, I am going to patent that, though, so you will owe me 28 cents if you want to use that.
Worth it.
Yeah.
I mean, he was never the same from those injuries. So, you know, you do have to give you have to give him that. You don't have to give him anything else, but you have to give
him. The government gives it to him. There's benefits that go to you when you survive combat. The government gave it all to him. We don't have to give him anything.
Didn't John McCain, didn't he stop Trump from repealing Obamacare? Is that, am I remembering that?
The Republican Party stopped Trump from repealing Obamacare. McCain volunteered to be the deciding vote because he wasn't going to run for re-election.
Yeah, it was a rotating villains type plan.
When the Democrats do rotating villains, except one time in Republican history, there was a rotating hero and he got that one slot.
Good for him.
The Republicans do that from time to time when you think about it.
Well, we're going to find out real soon.
We're talking about John McCain today and his political legacy. We're also talking about the movie Megalopolis.
That was a movie.
Yeah. We can't talk about these great historic legacies without thinking about this guy who made a $130 million movie that nobody wanted just because he could.
It was a passion project.
Brandon, I'm going to have to, honestly, I really have to just hop in and disagree with you. I first heard about this movie and I wanted it so fucking bad. Here's the thing. I'm stupid. I'm like, I'm not a smart guy. I'm like one of those kind of people, and Kennedy knows this. I'm the type of person that my favorite movie is literally just the last movie I saw. Doesn't matter what it was.
This is true.
I am a sucker for any film. When I heard that what's his name fucking made a ridiculously long, like crazy over budget, like fantasy, whatever, I was like, pump this into my fucking veins. This is all I've ever wanted. And I have a bit of buyer's remorse.
Well, the one positive thing, well, there are a couple of positive things that I'll say about Megalopolis. But one of them is, and I can say this as a fact, you've never seen a movie like Megalopolis.
No.
You've never seen a movie like Megalopolis. You haven't seen people in 40s cars and in modern cars simultaneous, like they're in Cuba interacting with the Roman Empire. You've never seen a Havana Rome mashup.
What if Cuba had Teslas?
I feel like in the last like 20 years in particular, trying to make a bad movie on purpose has become such a thing, and that's slowly like started to wear on me to some extent.
Mm-hmm.
Where like sometimes when I see a movie like that, I'm just like, oh, I can't do another one of these. Fuck off.
Okay, actually, no, there is one movie like this.
Oh,
Southland Tales. I mean, it's like, right. There's some differences,
there hasn't been a movie like Megalopolis, if you're a movie fan, since Southland Tales. That was 15 or 20 years ago. That was a long time ago.
Which I will say, I understand even less about what the fuck Southland Tales is about, but I did like Southland Tales more. And I think it's
Tales is awesome.
I think it's honestly just because not even that it was bad CGI in Megalopolis, but it was just so much CGI that like nothing in the entire movie felt real.
Also,
it was a cartoon with people in it.
Southland Tales felt like it was just a very rule of cool movie. Megalopolis was like extremely self-important to the point of being a nightmare.
I also recently found out that Southland Tales was actually there are two graphic novels that came out before the movie that you're supposed to have seen in order to understand the movie.
Oh, okay.
Oh, it's like Wonderworld. Like Wonderworld.
I had no idea. And here's the thing. There's a lot going on. I need to rewatch South. I think I'm going to rewatch Southland Tales tonight. I have the director's cut on DVD.
Don't you worry. You can come back and we'll do a Southland Tales episode.
I haven't watched it yet. The Southland Tales director's cut is like 40 minutes longer. Ooh. I have no idea what the fuck else they're trying to do in this movie. I'm so excited.
Kennedy and original Andrew, we should put extended Southland Tales universe on the board.
I just want to say, looking at the Wikipedia page of Southland Tales, budget, $17 million, box office, around 370,000.
No, nobody understood this movie at all. But at least they didn't spend over $100 million to make a movie no one would understand.
Valid, yes.
Kennedy, you should just introduce, if somebody lives on Mars or they're not paying that close attention, what is Megalopolis?
So Megalopolis is a movie that Francis Ford Coppola has been trying to make for like 30 years. And he's been turned down by studios and this and that. And he finally made a ton of money off of wine, sold a bunch of the vineyard stock or land, or I'm not exactly sure. It doesn't matter. But he sold some of the assets related to the vineyards after they became worth a lot of money and used that to self-finance Megalopolis, a $130 million movie, probably one of the most expensive self-finance movies of all time, if not the most expensive self-finance movie of all time. It's a passion project.
And this movie has an incredible all-star cast. It is wall-to-wall.
I mostly agree.
It is. I mean,
It has an all-star cast from before the Me Too era.
I mean, he did, you know, for that second line, you know, the starters come out and the bench players come in. Coppola definitely filled out his bench with some veteran Me Too ring chasers. You know, they were available for cheap, and he definitely got them in there.
like this would have been a unquestioned all-star cast in like 2011.
Yeah, that's fair.
Or like, yeah, when did Ghost in a Shell come out?
Like 15, 16, something like that.
Okay.
More recent than you think.
I don't remember. I'm trying to put a timeline in. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It had to be before that movie.
This movie is about, he's trying to rebuild the city. He has an architectural vision for New New York. And mayor is not letting him do his passion project.
Yeah, so we've got Caesar Catalina, played by Adam Driver. He's our passionate architect man. We've got Gustavo Fring from Breaking Bad, a.k.a. Giancarlo Esposito, playing the mayor, Franklin Cicero, who doesn't want him to have his project for reasons we don't know why.
I really don't understand the motivations. It seems like there's anybody.
Reasons earlier in the movie, but then later in the movie, he reveals there aren't reasons.
Yeah,
and literally that. Well, we'll come back to that whole the symbolism of it. And we've got his daughter is played by what's her face from Fast and the Furious, Game of Thrones. Aubrey Plaza's here, just making out with anything that moves.
I'm sorry, Fast and the Furious and Game of Thrones, was Aubrey Plaza in either?
No, this was
Emmanuel Chicory.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, I was like, what? I got very confused. I've also never seen a single Fast and the Furious.
Aubrey Plaza just
a little more entertaining with Aubrey Plaza, I think.
Aubrey Plaza just having stars in her eyes that she gets to be in a Coppola film and throwing all her self-respect out the window as a result.
Yeah, well, I will say I didn't love her in this movie.
You would think that she was getting a huge check from this, but she's just doing it to do it.
In it for the game.
She literally, if you've read the interviews with her about this, she just literally was just like, Francis Ford Coppola is a genius. I just had to be in his project because he's a genius. He's the all-time filmmaker. Like, that's like her a whole, like, every time she talks about it. And so she just thought, this guy's so brilliant, I will just follow him into the darkness.
And she went all the way in this role.
She definitely brought it. Like, she wasn't phoning it in any means. I don't know.
Well, again, so the important thing you have to remember about Megalopolis, before we move on to the real meat and potatoes of this episode, the really important thing you have to remember about Megalopolis is that Francis Ford Coppola had no real plan for this movie, which is wild to consider because he'd been making it for 30 years.
this movie does not feel like it. Honestly is like a less fascistic Atlas Shrugged. It's not super less.
What if Ayn Rand just had no politics?
What if Ayn Rand was like, instead of being a fascist, I kind of want to be like a lukewarm centrist about everything?
What if Ayn Rand was just into trains? This would be Megalopolis.
Just into trains and Roman statues. We're keeping that. That's super important.
Yeah, of course.
What if the realistic possibility of an actualized utopia didn't really affect anything?
Yeah, exactly.
This is a movie made by like the least fascist of those like return accounts that just post
yes.
Like that just fucking, posts, like classical sculptures. Art all day and is like, we used to be a society and that's all that they fucking do. Like and that
why don't that, we make buildings if, like
if
this? What
if the least fascist of those accounts got to make a movie, it would be Megalopolis.
And what's really interesting about just that whole situation is that Coppola designed this movie to be rewatched every year. He said he wanted it to be like It's a Wonderful Life. And for every Christmas, he said every Christmas his dream was that people would watch this movie on TV and then talk to their friends or family or whatever about isn't society don't I have
we dreams? Live in a society.
Don't we all have our own Gus Frings in our lives, or our own Shia LaBeoufs that are jealous of us and wanted to assassinate us and stuff for our great talent?
That's cool. That's cool.
You know what? I'll watch it again.
We all have a hot, not blood-related aunt in our lives that we thought about getting with. That's what Francis Ford Coppola wanted us all asking each other around the holidays.
No, I'll tell you what. I watched this movie like in the midst of a breakup. Maybe this will be, I'll watch this movie every time I go through a breakup, just so that I can be like, oh yeah, actually, life isn't worth living and nothing means anything.
Yeah.
Really center myself with some good old-fashioned nihilism.
Says something about our society.
It really makes you think.
So we're here today, of course, for the most important election of our lives.
Most important.
And so we are going to be comparing the political career of John McCain with characters from Megalopolis. So first off, I want to start the panel out with the Keating Five. Of course, this is critical to John McCain's career. The moment that everything changed for him, he probably could have been the president of the United States. John McCain probably could have just we could have had a reality where there's just no George Bush. And instead we talk about the McCain years and how much they fucking sucked. that was a completely possible reality. That we were robbed of because John McCain wanted to diddle around in the stock market a little too hard.
Stocks.
Who among us?
Who's amongst us? The funny thing is, much like so many things we've been discussing today, even like how we started the show with the David Letterman, John McCain feud and how you couldn't exactly have that today necessarily because things are just like way more
because of woke
and violent and crazy. I feel like the Keating Five would not be a thing today.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You could just get away with that now.
I don't know what the Keating Five is.
It was just shady political contributions stuff, basically, and stock market manipulation shit. And so there were these five senators that were just taking shady money and up to some bullshit. And John McCain was one of them. And they were named in this probe and they were looked into. And John McCain was found to have, quote unquote, not done anything wrong. So really not much has changed because there was a big scandal and it was like all in the media and everybody.
You guys all lost their money and these senators leaned on this regulatory agency to let this financial group off the hook. And yeah. No controversy today. Yeah, Kelly Loeffler just got appointed to the Secretary of Agriculture.
I mean, nowadays, if you want to be honest, he was the only Republican. The other ones were Democrats, so they praise him for working with the Democrats.
That's right.
Wow. Yeah.
Nancy Pelosi always says, we need a strong Republican insider trading scandal.
This thing, I had originally thought that McCain would be more like Catalina, but really he's a little more like Shia's character in the sense of, you know, what was the real origin of the Keating? He was just envious. He wanted his hands on the bag.
Yep.
And that's definitely, we should talk about just Shia's role in Megalopolis.
Well, first,
the role of Claudio Pulcher is like a 90s role. It's like a 90s character when you had
well hang on, because I've got the perfect vehicle for us to talk about any characters we want, which is so John McCain is, of course, we can't kick him out of the Keating Five. All right, so we know who one of the Keating Five still is. Which four characters from Megalopolis would have been in the Keating Five with him?
All of them.
But we have to pick the top. That's gonna be the hard part. They're all, any of them could work. We've got to pick the top four that would have been in this scandal with him. And of course, my segue back to the characters of Megalopolis is that Claudio, Shia LaBeouf's character, would of course have been in the Keating Five instantly.
They're like the same character. I was, like I said, I was really thinking of McCain being more like Coppola or Adam Driver's character, and that he's a man of great vision and ambition who's being torn down by the unthinking masses. But really, it's just not what McCain's character was ever like. He was really more narcissistic, grouchy, entitled, felt like something was being stolen from him for no reason. Like, all of that stuff fucking lines up perfectly. Him and Claudio are probably, they probably get along great.
Yeah, so Claudio's definitely in the Keating Five.
And
he would be embroiled in a financial scandal. As soon as he heard about it, he'd just be like, get me in that.
Aubrey Plaza, too. She'd do anything to get to the top.
Yeah, she'd do it for fun.
Yeah. Wow, Platinum.
Wow, Platinum, right on board.
My apologies for not using her proper name. You're right. Which, again, the parallels to Southland Tales, which I'm now convinced that Megalopolis is just a Southland Tales ripoff. What was Sherry O'Terry's character's name in Southland Tales? I'm going to have to look this up because now it's, well, stuck in my head. Not Sherry O'Terry, fucking Sarah just Sarah.
No, Sherry O'Terry is Zora.
Yep. Yeah, no, I'm thinking of the wrong person. No, not Southland. Southland Tales, you piece of shit.
I just want to say,
yes,
calling Southland Tales a better Megalopolis does not make me want to watch Southland Tales.
I was thinking of Sarah Michelle Gellar, and her name was Krista Wow.
Oh, yes.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's actually funny.
Krista Now. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Krista, that's the same thing. Whatever.
Yeah. Same thing.
I wanna pull up a slightly more obscure pick before we fill this roster too fast, because I know some of these others seem obvious, but what about Caesar's mom, Constance Crassus? I feel like she'd be in the seating.
Oh yeah, she definitely would be.
Yeah. She had a weird energy every time she was on screen, I'll tell you that much. Can I also tell you, I'm not actually sure what we're doing here as far as this, but like, what do we do?
We're just deciding which of these characters would have been in the Keating Five first. Then we're going to do some elections here.
Did I vote too early? Because I've already voted three times since you hit record.
No. Like, you're doing good.
Okay. This is the most important election of our lives. I just want to make sure that, you know, I'm up to date on all the important issues. I'm a swing voter in that I swing back and forth and vote for different candidates, you know, a couple times each per day.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
Gotta vote early.
Vote often.
Yeah.
I vote early and often, and I also vote late. And sometimes I vote right on time. It's the Goldilocks vote is what we're really looking for.
Kennedy lets do the election.
That's who Aaron should have.
We gotta get one. We gotta decide who's the last person. Is it the mayor in the Keating Five?
I just think Gus is all in it. Just the way things have to be done. That was his favorite line during this whole thing. And, you know, like we said, this whole movie is about, they won't let me make my movie. And Gus is just, that character is just a studio boss. He's just petty, spiteful, has no vision, is there for no reason, serves no purpose. His authority is totally arbitrary. He's just the person that he has to go through to get to just the validation that he craves, Caesar. So he's a studio exec. He's every studio exec.
You're tuned in to Ghost Coast Studios, the world's first and only podcast network. Built for creators, activists, and entrepreneurs with something to say. Gripping audio documentaries. Conversations that spark change. We're here to bring your ideas to life. Ready for more? Head to ghostcoast.video for shows that matter, tools to help you create, and a community that's totally redefining what a podcast network can be. Ghost Coast Studios, meet your dreams.
All right. So our first election matchup that we're going to be considering today.
Okay.
And we'll each give our thoughts, and our statistician Andrew Fields will perhaps produce a little math or some kind of something to go with.
I already have a chart that has interesting information on it.
You better have the fucking turnout projections of Bucks County, or I'm going to flip the fuck out.
So, 1982, John McCain versus Caesar Catalina for Arizona's first district of U.S. House. And I want us to consider both Caesar Catalina as a Republican and as a Democrat. We'll do both of these conversations.
So we're talking the primary and then later the general.
Yeah, first we're talking the primary. All right, so John McCain versus Caesar Catalina for Arizona U.S. House District 1 Republican primary in 1982.
Do we think that, and you know, I assume, well, I don't know what the hits were against McCain in the primary, or whether they just let him have it, but
they kind of just let him have it. So
I wonder if Catalina more bipartisan? Are there people across the political world that admire time stopping construction architects?
So, I'm gonna say in 1982, absolutely not. Like, that's close enough to the Vietnam War that, like, oh, that's like a recent war hero.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I want to bring up, this is 2008 information, but I think it's relevant. Pew Research on the McCain versus Obama campaign, from January to May, they're favorables. For Democrats' views of Obama and Republican views of both candidates, it's what you'd expect. Your party likes your guy, your party hates the other guy. But for McCain, it starts out as equal. Democrats' view of McCain in January, and then over the course of time, it goes to what you'd expect, unfavorable views. So I think the whole Democrat and Republican thing might factor in. A Democrat might have an easier time against him because he starts off popular.
That makes sense. The problem with people like Caesar Catalina, and this is his problem in the movie too, you know, all that shit doesn't motivate people. Yeah. That character had all kinds of superpowers and shit, didn't have a cult. He spent all his time trying to get one person to like him.
Yeah, he literally, all he does with his time-stopping power is seduce one lady.
We saw one scene where he kind of arguably whips up a crowd. He speaks in public, and there's some back and forth.
Yeah, at the very end of the movie, he gives that big speech, but we don't really see how it was received.
Yeah.
He's actually just a very shitty protagonist, which is part of why I wanted to start with him. Because I feel like John McCain's probably just going to beat him no matter what kind of situation we put him in.
Yeah, I think Catalina spends too much of the process staring at his own feet, talking about how great his ideas are, all this other shit.
And, getting shot.
Not enough time whipping up the mob, as they would say in the world of Rome.
Ooh, wait a second. How close to election day does Catalina get shot, though?
Oh, yeah, because that could raise his... think, I don't know. Can you
I
still...
think it helps. It brings it closer. Everybody has sympathy for a guy who gets shot.
Yeah.
Yeah, but getting shot once beat being a prisoner of war for 5.5 years?
No, but it makes it a little closer. Pick up some sympathy votes.
It depends. Like I said, it all depends how close it is. Because I guess John McCain wasn't an old man in 1982. I mean, he was older, but he wasn't like an elderly man like he was as I knew him in the 2000s or whatever. But I don't know. Like, you get shot, you bounce back, you have fucking magic eyes now. Like, you never know.
I don't think he wins, but I think it goes from being like, you know, the early polling is showing John McCain getting like 70-80%. And then it ends up being way closer than they expect after Caesar gets shot. Right. It's like John McCain gets like 56% in the primary or something. And it's like, that's close.
It's so much work that goes into being a politician. You have to really. You like, even if you're a fictional character, you've got to have some work ethic. This guy Catalina, he's just too rich. He's lazy. You know, we've seen people like this in politics. We've seen architects and construction guys that have a little money run for office, and they don't have the eye of the tiger all the time unless it's just handed to them.
He's not even a Michael Bloomberg, where like at least he was like Michael Bloomberg at least was a chatty Cathy. He was a fucking nerd, but like, you know, he'll talk and talk and talk for being a
also he was a top he was a top dog. It's like Caesar never he always gives the impression of like, I mean, he basically is like, he like runs some city office. He's not really
run the part, He is in charge of the Parks Department.
But he's not really a top, he's not really truly a top dog. Like being in charge of the Parks Department is like, that's like that's the kind of position you get if you're just born a rich fail son. Is like you just get put in charge of a Parks Department somewhere.
And,
you know,
and I would definitely say that Catalina, as an electoral candidate, he's just getting fail son results. Like if he's running in Nevada and Daddy Catalina's already been the senator there for like 30 years, he probably gets in there or something.
Catalina doesn't really have a chance unless it's like a recession and he's going against an incumbent, I don't think.
Yeah.
In that circumstance, I could see him maybe pulling something together. But yeah, outside of that, nah.
Lazy,
sorry.
Rich, fail son. No eye of the tiger. I think McCain beats him.
Mm-hmm.
So that's in the Republican primary. Is it, does Cesar Catalina do any better or worse if he's running as a Democrat in the general election instead?
I kind of feel like everything, I don't think that there's much difference in the analysis. It's, you know, if anything, I think Catalina does even worse because it's like, how did you go from the Republican primary to the Democratic general?
Catalina seems a lot like just the average stock losing Democratic candidate on a state race. He's somebody's son. He has a nice haircut. He talks a little bit about vision and passion.
A small but very passionate number of middle-aged women insist that he's extremely hot.
Yep. Sir, how dare you? Loses by 12 points, never seen again.
All right. Well, we're going to move on. So you know, John McCain, he starts off in the U.S. House. He moves on to becoming the senator of Arizona. John McCain versus Franklin Cicero is our next matchup for Arizona senator. This is the Republican primary in 1992. This is right after the Keating Five has sort of blown over, but it's the critical election where John McCain has to prove that he's still got the confidence of the voters after his big scandal.
Yeah. So Cicero's a Democrat, of course, but
they're a Republican primary
for the sake of this discussion, but he's just the character of Franklin Cicero is such a stock Democrat mayor.
He's a Republican in name only.
Mayor is just exactly that guy. Yeah. But also that guy could run as
Okay, you know what? Especially we could if you want him to run as a Democrat, I'll buy it. He could run as a Democrat.
He's a Democrat.
All right, Franklin Cicero as a especially think about like those Jersey Democrats.
Yep, he's a Jersey. He's a Jersey Democrat for sure. We've got to get back to work in this state. You know, all that bullshit.
Yeah, right to work, Democrat.
Goes to a construction site and puts on a hard hat.
All right, so, you know, it's funny because you're so right, but when I start, it's kind of like how you also flip-flopped on your thinking about some of these characters just since we started recording this. When I was writing the notes, I was thinking, Caesar, he's probably just barely a Democrat. Franklin Cicero, probably just barely a Republican. Now I'm like, nope, it's the other way around. especially in the years that we've placed them. So Franklin Cicero, he's running as a Democrat. All right, so actually that makes this really juicy. This is a really juicy election now. But also, as we established earlier, they are both involved in the Keating Five. All right, so this scandal has affected both of them. All right.
Bugger.
Well,
that's why I was being such a pain in the ass about that first bit of this part.
Well, the thing is, I mean, if it affects both of them, then it kind of cancels out. Yeah. Because neither one of them can use it against the other.
I don't know if that's true.
Yeah, I don't know. Because Republicans sometimes can attack Democrats for stuff that they're doing.
Yeah.
And I think that this character is exactly the kind of person that would do that. A New York mayor would easily accuse someone of being corrupt for doing the exact same thing.
Yeah, I think they might
with a straight face without any problems.
Yeah, they're both gonna still call each other corrupt in this election, in spite of how insane that is.
You vote for somebody that did this. You did it too. Stop changing the subject.
You keep interrupting me at the debate. The moderator said
there would be no fact checking.
All right, so we've got. All right, so it's 1992, Arizona senator.
Do we know the? It's gonna be. I think it'd be close.
Yeah.
How did McCain do in that election in real life? He probably was going to.
In real life, he got about 56% of the votes. The Democrat got 31.5% of the votes, and the independent got about 10.5%.
Okay,
so let's talk about who is this Democrat that he beat in 92?
Claire Sargent. She's so insignificant. Wikipedia doesn't even have a page for her.
Yeah, she was a total like activist candidate type, like non.
The Democrats are a little smarter now. They're getting a tough mayor with proven results. Generic Democrat big city mayor guy. Let's get to work. We don't have time for distractions. You know that bullshit. I think it gives McCain a little trouble. I don't think he wins because people love war heroes ultimately. And McCain will, if he sees that he's in hot water, McCain will apologize or something. He'll get out of there.
But also, like, Franklin Cicero would be a total establishment machine. Like, we have to imagine if in this scenario, right? He must have been the mayor of Phoenix for the last 20 years or something. Right. You know, so I just think, I don't know. I think there's a chance. I'm looking into this independent also that took 10% of the vote. Because that's crazy.
Who was this independent? Those are Perot numbers.
Oh, yeah, when does this an independent...
This is a real movie. Meckham. He was an American businessman and the 17th governor of Arizona until his impeachment conviction on April. Who was impeached?
Yeah. wait, I'm sorry. When was the impeachment? Before or after the Senate?
Before the Senate race.
1988.
Right? Yeah, ooh. Yeah. Before that. That's crazy. They had a Franklin Cicero in the race already. Well, then I guess we know that Franklin loses
because
he lost in real life.
Really,
I say Franklin comes in third.
Yeah. Behind Evan?
Behind both of the other two, yeah.
That is fourth. That's pretty tough.
Wow. Yeah. We're really roasting him here. But, you know, he just wasn't. What an unlikable character.
He didn't have the sauce.
No sauce.
John McCain was like kind of able to like be a little charming, you know, a little bit. At least
when did he adapt his Maverick
superficially?
I mean, you gotta remember that like Jesse Helms was in the Senate during this time.
Now are y'all ready for this one? Is the challenge.
Is Jesse Helms that MTV VJ?
No, this was like the super racist guy from South Carolina. He was still
To be a lot more specific.
Yeah, I know. John Berman's still kicking around this time. Just John McCain was like was lovable compared to just some
John McCain was the woke one.
Yeah,
he was. He was woke, and wokeness killed him.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's not woke anymore. He's dead.
All right. These other two were a little easier, but this one I think might be a bit of a stumper. Are you ready for our third and final most important election of our lives?
Yeah! Yes.
John McCain versus Claudio for Republican presidential nomination 2008.
Oh, okay. Well, so it helps that this is 2008. This is before Trump has turned on him.
Yes.
Yeah.
But also... boy.
But Claudio
is out. He ran against Bush in 2000, and Bush did beat him. So the all of the rude documents about John McCain by 2008 are public record. There's a war going on in Afghanistan. McCain is standing by the surge, and it's helping a little bit. That was the situation during the Republican primary. If you remember when McCain started, he was at the back of the line. And he was an underdog, and he, as the situation in Iraq changed, his stock went up, and that was how he got there.
But also, Claudio he's a maniac who would definitely make bloodthirsty promises to the war machine without a thought.
Yes.
And 2008, 2009 is when the Tea Party movement formed, which is like
the Tea Party wouldn't have been until after Obama got elected, though. So this wouldn't have been in effect.
No, the Tea Party existed before.
Really? It was. Yeah. But it was just 2009 is when the Tea Party really like became like after Obama, it became much bigger, much stronger and a much more national movement that had like national leaders and got press for a while.
Yeah.
Before that, it was a much more regional thing, and not all of them necessarily not all these movements necessarily called themselves the Tea Party yet in 2008.
Yeah.
Right. But there right. were these groups that were like the pre-Tea Party groups that would become Tea Party chapters and
the
next year.
Groups.
And these people, I mean, honestly,
and some of them were using the Tea Party name. It was just only a couple in a few places at first.
And you know, the only other alternative back then was didn't Romney run in 08? Wasn't he the second
yes,
guy?
The people. So Romney ran.
I just wonder if the Republican Party had just another guy to choose from. I mean, Huckabee was there.
Yeah. Math, Andrew. Who was the field in 2008? I assume you've got that pulled
all
up.
All right. So
for Republicans.
Rudy Giuliani was the early front runner, but it looks like he dropped out before the races. You have John McCain. Going by the popular votes, the second one was Mitt Romney. Going by delegates, the second one is Mike Huckabee. And then you have good old Ron Paul. Ron Paul.
Oh, yeah, Ron Paul. 2008 was Ron Paul's time.
Ron Paul.
Oh, never forget. Sorry, I think my cat just farted in my face. It's like,
I wonder what that.
And then it just reeks like cat shit to the point that I'm like checking if he literally just shit on me. I don't see anything anywhere.
That's cool. Love
that. That sounds catastrophic.
I do.
Yeah.
Know
okay. Wait. If Ron Paul was able to do numbers in 2008,
35 delegates did not win any contest.
That implies that Claudio being like exactly in between John McCain and Ron Paul in some ways potentially could have cleaned up, right?
I don't think
2008. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I don't think 2008 would have been the right time for it because like Claudio's best fucking appeal to voters is like the faux populism, like lying through his teeth, unafraid to say whatever. But it is like a lot of that populism shit is what, even though it was fucking hollow and disingenuous, that was his appeal. But I don't think that would have been, there wouldn't have been that kind of an appeal for that in 2008. Like Ron Paul was the most populist candidate in that race. And it just, at least to the right, there wasn't a desire for populism at that time.
I kind of agree. I think that Claudio's time is 2012, but I think that he makes a little bit of a name for himself in 2000, much like Romney.
Yeah.
Romney just ran the whole race and spent all kinds of money. And by the time 2012 came on, it was like, well, I guess it's Romney. He's next in line. With Claudio in the mix, he's maybe more interesting and charismatic than Huckabee or to some degree Ron Paul, although I'm not saying he's going to take all of Ron Paul's fans, but he'd make a little noise. I don't know for
well,
sure.
I had, consider this, though. Consider this before we make our final judgments here.
Yeah.
This is Shia LaBeouf right after the first Transformers movie came out before he got canceled.
You know, you're online, but you're right.
We're doing too many different variables here. If we are counting Claudio the character and also Shia LaBeouf the actor,
but Claudio is just Shia LaBeouf. That's what we've established.
I think that I think history refuses to change. I think it becomes a little more interesting with just another eclectic character. Because definitely the Republicans were looking for someone else to vote for.
Yeah.
But I think they would have seen Claudio for a couple
right?
of weeks and been like, someone else.
Claudio beats Huckabee, right?
Oh, for sure. Huckabee will never
for
win
sure,
again.
For sure.
Fuck Huck. Fuck
I just
Huckabee.
Mean in terms of like, he's like, it's probably like
Huckabee.
Maybe McCain, Romney, Claudio.
Yeah. Like
Claudio comes in third in this primary.
Claudio might be a close third, or he might be a sec. I mean, honestly, Romney spent all of that money and it didn't get a passionate, enthusiastic group of voters behind him. That whole time in 2008, people were like, is someone going to really fire up the Republicans and get them excited? And it ended up being McCain kind of by default. But I could see Claudio at least being interesting. I could see him being in that third or second or just being
competitive. Claudio being in a distant third, but his supporters are the most loud and annoying of all of them.
Yeah.
This is how Bernie could still win it.
Or I could see Claudio being...
Claudio would have had a K-hive somehow.
Or I could definitely see Claudio being the one that he gets second by popular vote, but he's fourth by delegates.
Yeah, that sounds right.
All right, well, that concludes the election portion. To finish out the show, we're gonna take John McCain, we've just established kind of an unimpeachable character in a lot of ways. He didn't soar to the highest heights that he possibly could have, but he also, generally a hard political opponent to beat. Let's now compare John McCain and his life to the world of Megalopolis for a few minutes. First of all, could John McCain beat Franklin Cicero in an election for mayor of New Rome?
No.
I don't think so.
No, if you want to be a big city mayor, you can't be old.
Kind of true, unless there was just a major political scandal.
Let's start with how old is John McCain? Is this could any be any? Age. This could be
really. I think the problem
is current age. He is a 4 years dead corpse.
Yeah. I really think the problem with McCain at any time period is that the whole point of New Rome is that the populace just doesn't give a shit. You know, they're consumed by apathy. I don't think McCain's a fucking war record. It's much like, he didn't win the presidency. There are enough people, once you get over a small room, there's enough people that just are like, I don't give a shit. I don't even know that guy. Whatever. I think
young McCain could come in and take out Franklin Cicero in an election, potentially.
I will admit that prior to 2008, I have no fucking context for John McCain whatsoever. So I can't think of him as anything other than who he was from 2008 on. So I can't say, but from what I know of John McCain, the reason that I don't think he would have a shot in a big city mayor's race is because to me, John McCain's appeal was he was a maverick.
From Mega Man X.
He was a serious person after the clown that was George Bush. You know, he was a decent man, even if you didn't like what he his politics or whatever. People weren't that scared of John McCain.
He blew a lot of people up, but it's not personal.
Yeah. And it's not quite that he was the least of a bad choices or whatever the default, but that kind of energy isn't going to win you a big city mayor's race, I don't think.
All right. Fair enough. Next question. If John McCain was the mayor of New Rome, could he stop Caesar Catalina's bullshit?
Yes. Drone strike.
Okay. Next question.
No. I just think Catalina just talks him to death. I just think Catalina just monologues until McCain loses focus.
I can just now see John McCain saying, he's not an architect, he's a good person.
Yeah. I think McCain would totally hate Catalina's guts, of course.
Okay.
And that's fun. But it's a plague on his house to have this guy in his life talking about building a city out of gold. I think that that whole situation, no way.
Would a young John McCain have made a good gladiator in the Megalopolis universe?
I'm gonna have to say yes.
That motherfucker knows how to endure, okay?
Yeah. High defense stat.
Also, like, he had kind of, like, when he was young, he had kind of a classic, like, rugged American, like, Western movie, like, B character kind of vibe.
He literally looked like the kind of...
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, he literally looks like the kind of guy whose name would be John McCain.
Does McCain have a ground game? Is McCain going to tackle anybody? It's just there's a level of athletic flexibility to do this kind of martial arts.
This is before the prisoner of war stuff. This is young John McCain, like military service ready John McCain. He was a big kid that cracked stuff
all the time. I guess he'd be fine. I mean, you know, he'd probably just get his ass kicked and not learn anything from it, and it wouldn't have any consequences for him.
No, that's what
you're saying. John McCain would be a jobber.
Yeah. white underwear and gets beat up, and
or he'd be like one of those jobbers for like 20 years that after like 20 years they're like, all right, we're finally gonna let you be a face for like one season.
Yeah.
I'd watch.
Final question: could any character from Megalopolis, any of them, survive 5.5 years as a prisoner of war?
Aubrey Plaza, WoW Platinum, would definitely survive 5 years in Vietnam. But everyone else, no.
Okay.
Just through insanity, like the Joker would, just insane.
I don't know his name, but Claudio's like second in command, the guy that shot Caesar. I think he could. That man was committed.
Yeah.
There was no thoughts. He just did what needed to be done and kept it moving.
Are we underestimating Catalina? It's funny that this whole movie is about.
No,
his
he could not.
Vision.
He would. The
but
dude
folds immediately. Oh,
the dude,
hands on
the dude say, folded not, after like 4 hours in prison.
I'm not saying he would die, but he would definitely break mentally in a way that he would never recover.
Literally,
from.
they put him in prison for a couple of hours, and he was like, "Yeah, I'll just confess to the AI video. Whatever, I don't care." And then they were like, wait, no, we can exonerate you. He's like, oh, cool.
It's too late.
He's like, I was going to confess to anything.
I've already confessed. It's too late. I'm already broke. You've already broken me. It's too late.
I have a take. I have one character from that movie that I think might get overlooked for this, which is Hamilton Crassus III.
Hamilton Crassus. Yes.
The old bank man. I think he could survive.
John Voight?
Yeah.
John Voight literally did survive 5 years in a fucking Vietnamese prisoner of war camp. What am I even doing anymore? Yes, I guess you're right. Why was that bow and arrow so like much? Why did it look like a toy? What the fuck? Why is this serious movie having like a little toy fucking bow and arrow bit? Like what? What was that?
Don't know.
Well, thank you all for participating in the most important election of our lives. You know, a lot of people, they don't take the time to participate, but you still can. All right. All of you out there listening, you still can by tuning in next week. But before we get out of here, Andrew, Hillary, you got anything you want to plug, promote, point people towards?
Yes, I host a couple podcasts. Well, I do a couple podcasts. One of them I do most weeks with Kennedy Cooper. It's called The Worst Week Yet. We talk about the world. It fucking sucks. The other one is called The Crumbling. We also talk about the world. It also sucks. It's just a little bit different. The Crumbling's more deep dives. The Worst Week Yet is more what's going on right now. Oh, it's all terrible. Well, it's all terrible across the board. And I do comedy sometimes. Follow me on whatever. It's at Andrew Hillary US.
Fun fact, these two found out that Biden dropped out while podcasting for The Worst Week. Yeah, and the reactions were very amusing.
Oh boy, that was quite a day.
That was a special day.
That might have been my favorite episode ever. Not that it was the best, but just it's the only time where you know, possible like country trajectory changing things happened like while we were holding microphones. Like, I guess it actually didn't change anything looking back.
Yeah.
Andrew, thank you so much for joining us.
No problem.
And listeners, remember to vote early and vote often by tuning in again next week.
And don't forget to vote late.
Ghost Coast Studios. Thanks for listening.